things the hard way, so.
That's exactly right. That's how Lee Majors.
Also, one of the things as far as the way this machine works is you have to kind of lean in.
Right. Yeah, I just told him that.
I know. I was just relaxing until we start.
I said lean in. Don't lean back like you're doing it. Yeah. I said you need to lean up.
So he
said,
okay.
Are we ready to begin?
You guys, is it your podcast, all three of you? You guys are always here?
For the most part, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, last week I wasn't here.
Uh-huh.
But that's rare that I'm not on the show.
Right.
Sometimes Tom is not here. Like, he was at Comic-Con one week.
Right.
Have you ever not been on the show?
No.
Jim, the co-host, has been on every
episode.
You're
now the only person who's been on every episode.
Yeah. Oh, we'll bring that up. All right, we starting?
Yeah.
Okay, hey, everybody!
You're going to bring something up.
What is what? What does that... Well, I don't even know what you just said. Apparently, it was hilarious, though.
You know, she said, I should bring that up. And I went, oh, so you said you were going to bring something up. I immediately said.
Like, you immediately reminded me that I was going to bring something up?
Yeah.
Even though I just said it.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
to you, that's hilarious.
It is. Really is.
What an asshole.
I
feel
like we've met before. I don't know where. I'm sure, like, at a place or something.
Probably, like, a place at some point. Like,
should I keep all this?
Are we recording?
I mean, yes.
How come you didn't say we started?
I said that, and I was immediately interrupted by assholery.
But we were just sitting here doing nothing, even when you said, okay, and I was like, oh, so it's not a real start. It wasn't like, press start and we started.
It wasn't a hard start.
Well, I have to start at some point. What do you want, a drum roll?
Yeah. Okay. That would really amp us up and get us
going. Drums are right there.
Where are the drums? Oh, the rock band?
Yeah, use the rock band drums.
No, Guitar Hero drums.
Sorry. All right, hopefully the mic... Hey, everybody, welcome to the Paul Goebel Show. I'm your host, Paul Goebel. Joining me, as always, is my co-host and best friend, Jim Bruce.
Hey, everybody, it's great to be here.
Also joining us tonight, once again returning, Tom Griffin.
Hello.
And our guest on the Paul Goebel Show tonight is an actor and a comedian from 30 Rock and... The Dollhouse, it's Josh Freedom!
Thank you for having me.
I almost forgot. I almost said Firefly. I actually almost said Firefly.
You know it was a Joss Whedon credit.
Yes. Did you remember Josh from Dollhouse?
Refresh my memory.
Well, there was an episode where they released some sort of toxin, and people were...
On the college.
Yeah, on the college.
Okay, yeah.
And he was the first kid to get sick in the opening part.
Right, yes, okay, yes.
Yeah, and I banged
my
head against the window in my underwear until I died.
And I know you remember him from 30 Rock.
It's okay if you don't.
There was, you were in a science lab.
No, that's Dollhouse.
Oh, Dollhouse.
When I tell you who he was, you'll remember.
Dollhouse.
He was Liz Lemon's agent on
30 Rock. On Dollhouse? You were Liz Lemon's agent on Dollhouse?
No, on 30 Rock. You were Liz Lemon's agent on 30 Rock. You remember that, right? Liz's agent on 30 Rock?
Remind me of
He was mostly a dog agent. He mostly represented animals.
Oh, yes.
For agent. It was super funny. The best part was that suit they gave you.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, obviously it was supposed to be way too big, but...
Yeah, that was the script.
I'm sure, but like when you when you went in for your fitting, did you know that that was the script? Or did you go, I think this is a little big?
No, I knew it was going to be big.
You knew that was the gag?
He wore an oversized suit and stuff.
Because that was always, like, when you're on a show and you go in for your fitting, sometimes it's like, oh, that's my character? You know what I mean? Like, they give you some shirt or, you know, or pants that are fucked up, and you're like, oh, I get it. I'm supposed to be that guy.
Have you ever tried saying, what if you were to wear, like, I feel like the more credits I've gotten more comfortable being like, oh, you can just give suggestions. Or probably it wasn't me. It was like, I just watched other actors who've been, like, working for a long time, and they're like, ah, I want to wear this, I want to wear that. So I sort of took a note from that, like, oh, you can tell.
Well, I find it always depends on who the person you're talking to is. Like, when I was on Will and Grace, I got to, I already knew the costume lady from when I was on Boston Common. It was the same chick. So we were kind of friends already. So I was able to say, hey, what about this? And how about this thing? And, you know, can I have this? And shit like that. So I think it all depends, because sometimes you just meet people who don't want any suggestions whatsoever, regardless of the deal.
Right.
So, Josh is here for the first time to share his hilarious comedy with us and talk about things that are going on in the world. I want to thank you guys for listening to last week's show where I wasn't on. I was in Toronto, and Jim and Tom and John Nelson were nice enough to record a show without me. I hope everybody enjoyed that. I had nothing to do with it. I had absolutely nothing to do with that show. So if you liked it, then all credit goes to them. If you hated it, all blame goes to
them. Is your hair blonde?
No. It's gray. It looks like it's highlighted.
I'm colorblind.
Well, I don't know that would really come into play with hair color.
It's a good go-to in case I have a color snafu.
Yeah, but I'm already saying that I'm not falling for
it. Well, the way the light is hitting it, though, it does have maybe it's like a see-through or clear.
Well, I will.
The way the light is hitting it, it has a light color to a light. Now, when you bend over like that, I can see the gray.
Don't tell everybody I'm bending over.
When you lean back.
When I drive around in my convertible, sometimes people think I have highlights in my hair.
Because the wind is always blowing and you're a guy in a convertible?
Mm-hmm. I'm that guy. but I was in Toronto last week, and so I missed the show for the first time. There was a show without me on it, which, as we were saying earlier, means Jim is the only person who has been on every episode of the Paul Goebel Show.
Yep.
From the very beginning, even including the lost episode, for 211 episodes. You're the only guy.
Now, were you in Toronto to see movies? Because I thought that was this week.
No, because I would have been there early. Oh, if I was there for the film festival, yeah, I would have been sadly disappointed. No, my girlfriend's, one of the close friends of my girlfriend, their band was getting reunited, so we went for a visit, saw their band, and hung out. Because Brooke is from Toronto.
Oh, I see. Is it a reputable, known band?
No.
Oh.
As far as the Toronto music scene goes, they were pretty popular, but eventually they quit to do things that they wanted to do. One guy quit because he was tired of being in a band.
Right.
So it's hard to keep your band going when people don't want to do it anymore.
Right. No matter how close you may be.
Yeah, and they were opening for this band Quest for Fire, which some of the dudes went on to be in that band. It was like that thing.
Mm-hmm.
But they were pretty good. Hey, I mean,
is that band Quest for Fire, do they have any words in it?
Yeah, but it's all made up.
Right.
It's a made up
like band. The movie, right?
Exactly. What happened to his other...
It's raining toys.
Battering?
Yeah.
So it was a leisure trip.
Two more battering.
It was a leisure trip.
I don't know.
For me, it was, yes. Although right. I was scheduled to do comedy at Yuck Yucks there in Toronto, but I could not make the show.
Right.
I was on the Friday night show, but I couldn't make it.
That probably made you seem even more important to those Yuck Yuckians.
Probably. They, those Canucks at Yuck Yucks.
Or L.A. comedians
make it. So we're going to talk, but let me tell you this that happened. There are two things that happened on the trip that are somewhat interesting. On the way out, on the way to Toronto, we're getting in our seat, and Brooke goes, "Oh my God, there's Catherine O'Hara." And because, of course, she's really freaked out because she's Canadian. She grew up watching SCTV. Catherine O'Hara is a huge, idol of hers. And I was like, "Oh, that's very cool." Of course, I like Catherine O'Hara too, but to her, it was it was like me seeing Henry Winkler.
Right. I've seen Henry Winkler before. You probably have too. No?
Oh, I've seen him, sure.
Oh, yeah. I saw. He was the first celebrity sighting.
Me too.
In Los Angeles.
The first month I was here,
I've met Catherine O'Hara.
And you've met Catherine O'Hara. So she kind of freaked out. But it was cool. She was in Coach with us, and that was kind of odd. And we thought, oh, she's going back home to Toronto after being here losing the Emmy Award because she was nominated for an Emmy. So that was kind of neat.
Did she talk to her?
No. Here's the great part. We get in the airport, get to our gate. Who's there waiting to leave on our same flight? Catherine O'Hara. How weird is that? She's on our flight out and on our flight back. And I said to Brooke, you have to go talk to her now. You have to. Because the odds of you, getting a chance to talk to Catherine O'Hara are pretty big. But then the odds of it happening twice, even bigger. The odds of it happening a third time, it's not going to happen.
But what would she say?
I'm a huge fan. I love your work. Can I get a picture with you?
Right.
Which is exactly what she said.
Uh-huh.
So we did that, and I took a picture. And it was a very cool thing, and she was very nice. But I thought, how many times does that happen, where someone's on your flight on the way there and on the way back? That's a weird fucking coincidence.
That happened to me one time when I was flying to Chicago with Mary Jo, and she was also on the flight coming back. But I don't think that counts, because we were together.
Uh-huh.
So I don't think that's a great story.
And she's not famous. Yeah. She's not famous. So
no, I've had gone on a trip somewhere and seen someone on a flight, and then they were on my plane the way back, hey, look, that guy, that girl, or whatever.
Oh, but not a recognizable person?
No.
Like the pilot, maybe? Was it the pilot?
No, maybe just some schmo on the plane.
The great thing was, we were in Toronto, so I got to, pretend I was French the whole time, because we're in Canada, so I speak, fake French to everybody. That was pretty fun.
But you have to do it in that, like, a watery down French accent, which is like,
well, instead of we, you say wah.
Wah. Do you know the one I'm talking about, though? It's kind of like, maybe if my bastardized French accent is if the bastardized French Canadian accent is
really?
Yeah, I feel like it is.
Okay.
Are you sure that's not your bastardized Swedish chef?
So then, like, your Spanish accent, like, say, if from people in Mexico, what would that be like?
I don't know. I just saw Machete last night.
Okay, so you have an idea. But I mean, what I'm getting at is, what would be
your,
like,
French-Spanish?
No, the Mexican-American accent. Americans who have Mexican accents, that would be watered down, right?
I don't know. When you dip into Mexican stuff, somehow it starts to feel racist. But the French...
Somehow. Yeah, I don't know.
The French stuff doesn't feel racist.
Well, what about African-American? I mean, that's not racist. Do your African-American voice.
Hey, Rebecca.
That's pretty good.
Right?
But then the other thing that happened, and I thought this was kind of funny when it was all said and done. On the way, the plane was crowded on the way there, and it was not comfortable. On the way back, it was Labor Day, and it was nighttime, and I thought, it's not going to be a full flight. And it wasn't. It was, you know, the three, it was me and Brooke and a guy next to me. I was in the middle. But then the seats in front of us, it was just one dude. And I said, well, of course, this guy next to me is going to move up, because then we both will have a seat next to us. And
he wouldn't do it.
No. He gets up and he goes up there and I see him say to some old man who's up there, hey, can I sit here? Because apparently the old man is stretched out. And the guy says to him, oh, I was going to sleep. And the guy goes, okay, well, can I sit here? And the guy's like, no, I think I'm going to sleep. He says, no, I'm going to take up three fucking seats so I can sleep. And I said, hell no. Are you going to do that? And so I pushed the fucking light and waited for the attendant to come by. I said, excuse me, can one of us move up there to the empty seats? And she looks up and she goes, oh, he's kind of stretched out. And I go, yeah, I know. Can one of us move up there? And she goes, yeah, I think so. She goes, excuse me, sir, can you move so he can sit? And that guy fucking moved. Because when the guy came back, he looks at me and goes, yeah, God forbid, he should be inconvenienced. Let's all stay back here all crammed up. And I went, fuck that guy. So the old man got up, and the dude went up there.
So wait, it was the old man who wanted to sleep?
Yes. Oh. It was the old man
who
wanted
to sleep.
But he was old. I don't give a fuck how old he is. He had two seats to himself. He needs three? Wait. Some people on that flight had one.
So wait,
what
you
the
were
fuck?
Sitting in the back.
I didn't have any seats.
You had zero.
Maybe the beginning of the story sounded boring to me, and I was like, wait, what? And then all
maybe.
I got to the middle, and once you got to the middle, it was
okay,
like,
what
old
part
man,
don't you understand?
Why did you need to move?
We, in our row, it was three...
It was jam-packed.
Three of us, yeah. Three of us in three seats. In his row above, in front of us, one guy in three seats.
Right. So if it's... And did the two of you want to move to the front?
No. Well, I was sitting there with my girlfriend and another guy.
Right.
So, of course, he's going to move because we want to sit together.
Uh-huh.
But all he has to do is move up, and then he's got a seat... And then a seat.
Oh,
empty
and
seat
he
next.
Wouldn't. The old man wouldn't let him move up so that you guys could sit together.
Exactly.
I understand now.
The old man wanted three seats to himself.
And you're like, well, listen, you stupid old man.
Exactly.
Me and my girlfriend want to sit together on the flight. We don't even. We're okay with being crammed if we can just sit together.
No. We were sitting together. The point was, the dude next to me, if he were to move up, then he has, you know, an empty seat next to him. I have an empty seat next
right.
to me.
Everyone gets...
And then the old man still has an empty seat next to him, but
he can still stretch out and sleep.
Yes.
And he can still lift an arm up and
so
shift
I was
his
pissed.
Butt.
And I offered... Yeah. I said to the dude, I was like, you know, hey, if you want a drink or want something to eat, I'll buy it. And he was fine with that. But I said... I turned to Brooke and said, that's how we do it in America. That's how we fucking do it in the U.S. of A. We tell old men to fucking move it. You know why? No seats for old men.
Oh, that was a good movie.
Yeah, it was a great movie.
I liked that movie.
So that was really, those are, sadly, those are the two most exciting parts of my trip.
Get up, friendo.
That's what happens when you go to Canada. Those are the exciting things that happen. I had a lot of good food there, some good poutine. But let's talk about TV. Oh, no, this is the best part of the trip. We're in the hotel, of course, and we're perusing.
And there's this old man in your bed.
And I'm like, dude, move over. we're perusing the pay-per-view movie channels, and of course we say, well, what is on the pornographic offerings tonight? And we peruse through it all, and we come up upon some parodies. One of them is The Office 2, a parody. And of course, I don't want to watch that. Why?
Because you like The Office? Because
you haven't seen The Office 1.
Because I have not seen The Office 1, and I would be too confused. The other one is The Big Bang Theory. And they don't have to change the title. And I say to myself, I think I got
to
watch
Wouldn't
this.
Wouldn't they have to for legal reasons?
Well, no, because they say it's a Big Bang Theory, a porn parody. Because they're saying flat out, it's a parody. So, I can see the chick they got to play Penny looks a lot like Kaylee Cuoco. So, I was like, I'm already on board with this. And then they got these four nerds who look like nerds, of course, until they take their shirts off and they're all ripped with giant wieners. But I was like, we got to watch this. So, we watch it, and it's, first of all, it's 3 hours long, which is great.
3 hours?
Yes, it was long. It was a long porno. Every one of the nerds had sex.
Improvising, or what?
No, they have a full-on script.
No, they just like, this will just, do they plan on, do they think it's going to be epic? Or they just like, we just got a lot of ideas about how they can have sex.
No, because the actors are bad. The sex scenes are all pretty much the same. Right. If you took out the sex, it'd be like an hour-long movie, if that, 45 minutes.
Right.
But there's one scene, three chicks. The nerds aren't even in it. Two of Penny's friends come over. It's girl on girl on girl, and that's great because one of them's got big fake breasts, one of them has big real breasts, one of them has small real breasts. I was like, this movie has everything! This movie has everything I want in a film!
When you're watching the pornography...
Now, wait a minute. It didn't have small fake breasts.
Nope. And I don't want that.
But it doesn't have everything.
Has everything I want.
Wait, you said they had real fake breasts? Or fake breasts?
What?
Did they have real breasts or fake breasts?
Both.
Oh, okay. Now, I have a question.
Yes?
When you watch the porn, do you watch it for the titillation, or do you watch it for the irony of it?
Well, both, but mostly titillation, because I know, because if the movie fails on, like, a irony or comedy aspect, then that's okay, because right. They're not comedians. I mean, they're barely actors.
Right, but so like, oh, look, they're doing it.
But if it fails on the titillation or the sexual aspect, well, then they have failed completely, because that's the one thing
right.
A pornographic movie is supposed to do, is supposed to get you off and be enjoyable that way. So, because I'm sure we've all seen pornos that were like, wow, this is terrible. This is not sexy at all. Right?
I just know when I've watched...
I probably have.
When I've watched...
Well, you were in one, I remember.
Right.
Because I was like, this is terrible, Jim. Why did you make this?
I'm like, I don't know. I really should have got some other people.
Yeah, that was really... I'm going to say, casting was your first mistake. Yeah. Because it was like a one-man show. Not good. And I should have known that when it said, a Jim Bruce porno, a one-man show.
Yeah, remember when I did like, it as a just live one-man show for
yes,
a while?
Yes, that was a bad call. Great reviews, but the public did not like it.
Yeah.
So, what are you going to do?
I was surprised I could get it in the Acme like that. That was weird. Let me do that.
So if you're looking for a new parody movie, The Big Bang Theory is the one to see. That is goes to the top of my list.
Was that a euphemism, getting in the Acme?
Does it go above...
Maybe it is, too. Yeah, it's maybe both.
I don't know. Does it go above what, Josh?
Does it go above... The 41-year-old virgin who got knocked up by Sarah Marshall.
That's not a porno, though.
But you said if you're looking for a good parody.
Yeah, but I haven't seen that, and it looks dumb to me.
Oh, yeah. It looks...
All those...
I reference it out dumb. Of irony.
All those... Well, so have dumb. You ever seen any of those scary movie, epic movie?
Yeah, but this is, like, so bad, it's, like, straight to video.
Well, they all are. Well, not all of them, I guess.
Well, the Friedberg and Seltzer... guys, they seem to have their own awful thing just sort of going.
Well, the last one, what was the last one? Vampires Sucked? That opened huge. It actually made good money.
I'm sure those guys are going to... Yeah, all their movies
really?
Make money.
Really?
Yeah. Because I heard Epic Movie... Well, not Epic Movie.
Why they get to keep making?
Disaster Movie didn't do too well.
Well, I'm sure they don't cost very much to make, too, relatively.
Well, they have no names. Yeah. That's the other thing is... No stars.
They get
at
like
all.
A couple. Well,
Ken Jeong, I think, was the biggest name in Vampire.
Some
Sucked.
Of the earlier ones they got, like Eugene Levy and Jennifer Coolidge and
that's
Alison
true.
Hannigan.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's true. Also, she was in
Date Movie.
That's right. Oy.
That's the one.
Yeah. Which one of those were you in?
No, I didn't. I wasn't in any of them.
Josh.
But the first part that I ever got was in a part in Date Movie, and then I got replaced before they shot it.
By whom?
I don't know, some schmo.
Did you still get paid?
Yeah.
Well, that's all that matters.
But, yeah, I remember being really heartbroken, like,
Did you accidentally, do you accidentally get residuals from it?
No.
Because that happens
but
sometimes.
But I remember, like, I'm so happy now that I was never in Dave movies.
That's good. That happens sometimes, though. You get cut out of a movie and they accidentally pay you residuals because you're on the cast list still. So that's always funny. Well, here's what I want to talk about. I was watching Mad Men last week. And
I haven't seen any Mad Men.
Okay. You watch Mad Men,
nope.
Thomas? And you don't either?
No.
Okay. But who here watches Breaking Bad?
Nope.
No.
I just met a guy who was on Mad Men, though.
Who?
Michael Gladys.
Mm-hmm. He's good.
Yeah, I worked with him.
At the UCB?
No, I got a part on an episode upcoming of Eagle Heart.
What's that?
Chris Elliott's, there's a new show with Chris Elliott on it.
Oh, I haven't even heard of it.
And, yeah. It's
what's it going to be on?
Adult Swim.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It sounds great. What's it about?
It's sort of like a, you know, like U.S. Marshals or whatever, and it's like a comedy, you know, it's a really short show.
Well,
it seems really weird and
like
funny.
15 minutes.
Yeah, 15 minutes.
The rest
shows.
Of the show's on Adult Swim.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
And there's like a team of people or whatever.
Who else is on it?
Brett Gelman.
Who's funny.
And Maria Thayer.
I don't know her.
She was in Forgetting Sarah Marshall. And Michael Gladys. And
he's on Mad Men.
Yeah. That's why I remember.
Oh, speaking of Mad Men, I want to talk about that. I'm watching it the other day, and I'm thinking, because it's the show Mad Men obviously is a great show, but this episode that was on last week was so good. I was just blown away, and I thought, because they have that, and they have Breaking Bad, and I thought, how hard must it be now to, like, pitch a show to AMC? Because they have raised the bar so high. You know, I mean, you guys don't even watch those shows, but you know, by reputation, that Breaking Bad and Mad Men are, like, two of the best shows on TV.
Right.
So, hard. I mean, if you go in there, like, I would bet the people at AMC don't even bother anymore. They're like, well, we'll never have shows as good as what we started out with. As our first two shows.
So you don't think they're ever going to do another show?
Well, they have one. This show Rubicon is
on. Is that
on,
a good
right?
one? Or I heard it's like a real mess.
It kind of is, yeah. I mean,
I heard that it's because the creator got fired or something like that.
That's what it looks like.
Because
it's very, I mean, it's supposed to be very involved and like it's, you know, like the X-Files to the fucking, you know, 10th level. As far as conspiracies and all this shit, and it's, you know, and it's something you got to really pay attention to, and it's very tedious, and I mean, I'm on board, but I have a feeling they were like, look, we can't ever top ourselves again. And they've already been critically lauded too. Their shows have, you know, they win tons of Emmys every year, both those shows. So it's almost like, yeah, we'll just do whatever we want now. And also because it's fucking AMC, you know, how good do they have to be? You know what I mean? It's not like
they're
selling a ton
making
of
making great
shit.
Stuff. They, you know, their credibility and clout and the amount of money that they're given would just get bigger and bigger and more.
But how much better can it be when you have two of the best shows on TV are on your network? Like two, the top five shows are on your network, and your AMC. They have like a total of three shows on that network,
what
and
are
two
the other
of them.
Shows on there?
That's I think it's those two and Rubicon are.
There's
it.
One more, isn't there?
I don't think so.
There were some pilots made for them.
I was going to say Spartacus, but that was on Encore.
Stars.
Stars, okay.
Is it TV Spartacus?
Spartacus Blood and Sand, yeah.
Oh, sounds bad.
I thought it was pretty good.
Oh, okay.
Well, they could have a show like where it's like Breaking Bad, but then there's three new chicks, and one of them's got real breasts, and one of them's got like big fake breasts, and then
right.
one of them's got little real breasts.
Okay, then you're right. That would
be
a better show.
See?
That would be a better show. Why are we not pitching that show?
Well, I think we did, and then they said, get out of our offices. How did you get in here?
Oh, that's right. I remember that.
Right.
And then you were like, hold on. I got one more show. It's based on my one-man show. And they went, well, just do a live pitch for us right now.
And they regretted that.
Yeah, the rest of the day was a blur.
I was like, who's going to do a live catch?
You guys keep bad-mouthing one-man show, but you also said it got good reviews.
It did. It got a good review.
Well, I mean, yeah, the critics liked it, but just
that's
the
big thing.
Yeah.
But the critics were sitting in the back. That was why.
Yeah.
Speaking of one-man shows, Josh, you like to perform.
Well, yeah.
As a one man.
Yeah.
You've done
two shows.
Josh Fadum Falling Down, right?
Yeah.
Was it Josh Fadum
30 Minutes of Falling Down.
30 Minutes of Falling Down. And that's just you? Falling
yeah.
down for 30 minutes?
Yeah.
And that was very popular, I understand. I never got to see it, but I heard.
Yeah, I only did it a few times, you know.
At the UCB.
Yeah, I did it.
Kids
at the UCB.
Loved it. And you got another one coming up You're doing it tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
What's that called?
So if you're listening to this, go see it a week ago.
Right. But you may do it again.
Yeah, hopefully they're giving me a monthly spot.
What's it called?
Josh Faden Presents Butts and Seats.
I like it. And is this just a one-man show, or are there other
people?
No,
it's like a variety. Like, I, you know, do stand-up, and then...
And you have guests on?
Show videos and guests. And
oh, I'd love to do it sometime.
Yeah, okay.
What kind of guests do you have?
You know, people who do stuff.
Oh, I do stuff.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right.
I'd love to come and do some stuff on it.
Okay.
I love that
stuff. Not as loosey-goose as back when, you know...
As the old show in the Ramada.
Yeah, not like that.
No, I wouldn't expect it.
That's why I call it Butts and Seats, because I'm hoping to actually... the name will... entice people to come be a butt in the seat. Mm. You
know? So, that's why I'm doing my new show at the UCB, Paul Goebel, Throw Money at Him, is what it's called. And I got some ideas for what I want to happen. But
I didn't say come to the show. It's not called Josh Faden Presents Come See the Show. It's Butts and Seats. Like, you know, I'm not spelling it out, but I'm like, oh, there's going to be Butts and Seats. So maybe we can start calling it Paul Goebel, Lots of Money.
Well, but I think it might backfire. People are going to show up and go, hey, where's the money I heard about? I heard you're giving away money here.
But where in the name does it say you're giving it away?
Exactly, but right. I'm saying it could backfire. Like, that might happen to you. People show up and go, hey, I heard there's a lot of asses in
butts
seats
in
here.
Seats.
I wanted to come I'm an ass here. Man, and where are all the butts in seats?
Well, you wouldn't be, even if you were an ass man, they'd be in the seats, so you couldn't really get to them.
You wait for them to stand up.
Well,
you'd be patient about
it. Surely if there's someone there, more than one person, I get more than one person to come, that's a couple of butts.
That's the other thing I liked about this porno. A lot of the women had big asses.
Uh-huh.
And I am a fan. I don't know if I've ever mentioned that before.
Sure, sure.
Big behind.
I like big butts.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now, is that something you would ever lie about?
No, I'm absolutely honest about my adoration of the larger behinds. So it's called Butts and Seats. And who is on this first show with you?
Well, the first one was last month, and this is the second one.
Oh, who's on the first one?
James Adomian, Fred Armisen, and Paul Rust. Show.
Oh, those people are all hilarious.
All funny dudes.
Now, what do you have any opinions on Fred and speaking of Mad Men? Fred and his wife are getting divorced. They've been married less than a year. What do you think about that?
I don't have any opinion on it.
No?
No.
Well, he's a friend of yours. You're not, like, upset?
I don't dip into his personal life.
But, I mean, when you hear a friend of yours is getting divorced, doesn't that make you go, oh, it's too bad?
Well, it's too bad.
Wow, why are you such a dick about it?
Just, I don't know.
Well, you just don't even care.
It's boring.
Why do you have a heart of stone, Josh?
Man,
you hate people, don't you?
Yeah, I ate a lot of concrete before I came here.
And it went right to your heart.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and who's on this next show tomorrow?
The next show is, this one is Sam Brown and Trevor Moore from The Whitest Kids You Know, and Andy Kindler, and Howard Kramer.
Wow, that sounds like an action-packed show.
Try to make an action-packed. I'm trying to get the butts in the seats.
As the title suggests, is Howard going to do Dragon Boy Suede, or...
I told
something
him he
else.
Could do whatever he wants. So
he might do
he
Dragon
might
Boy.
Surprises.
Well, that's good. I mean, I don't see why people wouldn't come see that show. Mm-hmm. It's a fucking killer show.
Well, if you guys come in, you know, and then you can talk about how good it was or good it wasn't next week.
If it wasn't good, we wouldn't talk about it.
Really?
I promise you.
Yeah, we don't mention.
You only
yet.
Talk about good.
We haven't mentioned all the shitty things you've done already.
Right.
It's fun being on the show, isn't it?
I was on. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. It's great.
Oh, you were on what? You were going to mention something shitty you did?
Yeah.
What?
It was on Frank TV.
Frank TV? As in Frank Caliendo?
Yeah, I was on an episode of that.
Oh, wow.
I had a line on there.
Were you the guy who did the George Bush impression on that? Was that you?
I did the fat George Bush impression.
That's right.
And the short John Madden? Did you use short John Madden impression?
Yeah. I think his John Madden impression is actually pretty good.
It's great. A great impression. But it's just not funny. That's right. The problem. We've said this about Frank Caliendo a million times. He is a brilliant mimic. As far as impressions go, he is by far in the top two in the country, in the world. However, he never says anything funny. He never makes me laugh.
His act consists of saying, like, you ever notice he always does this, and he sounds like he's, you know, he's sneaking the thing, and then it's like...
Right, and then he does the impression, and you go, yeah, he does sound like that.
Yeah.
That's not funny, though. Yeah. I mean, it does it does bring up, like, a visceral reaction of, like, laughter or chuckling or whatever.
Hey, I hear that coming
out. Oh, yeah, I recognize
it's
that.
It's probably funny.
There's no joke.
the first time you see it, there's a joke. It's the most base level joke, which is that you recognize that he's drawing attention to something silly about the person.
Right.
But once that's over, like the John Madden thing, I think is a hilarious impression the first time you hear it.
Yeah. I really like his John Madden, though.
Right.
Because the whole... That one, I think, works because the whole premise of his impression is that John Madden just rambles and never makes a point. And then he just does that, and it actually works, I think.
Sure.
Like, that one's always funny.
I can see that. But like, we had a Domian on the show once, and we talked to him about that and how...
Sure, he's got some really hardcore things.
Well, yeah, we basically pointed out the difference between a Domian and Frank Caliendo and how, you know, a Domian not only does great impressions...
He's not nearly as fat.
Right. Yeah. But he's also super funny. I mean, look at him on Last Comic Standing. He didn't do any impressions.
Right. But a couple of them. But he
did impressions. Oh, did? Well, on the episode I saw, no.
An impression of where someone, you know, actually somehow makes a comment about the person or the character.
Right.
Or,
and he also does...
A satirical impression.
And also funny voices. And not just, you know, like when he was talking his bit about the Mucinex monster and all that shit. You know, and he's using different voices and stuff. But he's actually, I mean, not only is he making a joke, but he also then makes a commentary.
Right.
And like when he does John McCain, like I saw Frank Caliendo do John McCain, it's like, yeah, you sound like him. Whereas Adomian does John McCain, you're like, holy shit. You know, he's talking about a goot cum, and I had to drink goot cum for a year. Like, holy fuck, that's brutal. You know, but that's why Adomian is great. That's, I don't know, that's why I think he will one day be super famous.
Yeah, I don't think he's far off from it.
No, he's very close. One day we will look at him the way we look at Charlene Yee and go, whoa, nice haircut. Hmm. well, let's get to trivia. We're about halfway through the show.
She cut her hair for charity.
Sure she did. The trivia a couple of weeks ago was about Jeff Probst, and I asked what was the first show he hosted on FX.
Oh, it was just the General FX. I was not supposed to put it out.
That's the name of the show, General FX?
No, it was just generally on TV. Like, it was just like, hey, it's FX. And he did it with Orlando, what's his name?
No, you're getting things confused. The Orlando Jones was called Sound FX, and it was a music show with him and Karen Bryant and another guy.
Karen, who used to be on MTV?
Mm-hmm.
But Jeff Probst just did the general one.
It was called Backchat.
Okay, I got an F.
And he would literally read questions from viewers and answer them. That's what the show became.
Do you remember the email address?
No, but that's a good question. What was it? I'm sure it was AOL.
No. It was something...
Backchat at AOL.com.
Something at Delphi.com.
Oh, that's awesome. It had to be Backchat at Delphi.com.
It might not have even been that. It was like so early email days that seemed like it could have just been a number or something.
The cool thing about FX News is...
15 at Delphi.net or something like that.
This is the 15th email. People don't remember that when FX started, all their they showed reruns and live programming. Like, they showed Nanny and the Professor, and then all the shows were live.
There was Living Color reruns as well.
Living Color. They'd show a pet show that was live, and a morning show that was live, and then Backchat was late at night, and they were all live, at least, you know, on the New York schedule. I thought that was great. But it's so funny how it's nothing even close to that now.
It's the same with any MTV. What are some other channels that started out sort of like, oh, we're just this channel?
Well, you know, it's funny. I was talking about Cartoon Network, and, you know, when the Cartoon Network started, it was great because you could watch all your old favorite cartoons, and then they eventually brought on new cartoons.
Yeah.
And so they had to start the Boomerang Network. Well, now Dexter's Lab and the Powerpuff Girls are on the Boomerang Network.
Right.
So what is now the retro channel? Where do you go to see fucking Yogi Bear and the Wacky Racers? That's the cartoons I want to see.
You don't want to see those?
I totally do.
I don't think you do.
I totally do.
All right. I just don't think you do. I think that's a weird lie.
What cartoon do you want to see?
Well, honestly, I love Dexter's Lab.
So did I. I'm not saying they're not good. But I want to see cartoons when I was a little kid.
Where do you
kid.
Go see Leopold?
There you go.
You know, Leopold when I was a kid, they'd show like on TBS or TNT or whatever. They would always show like Warner Brothers cartoons.
Now that I want to see. Yeah, I'm into the Warner Brothers cartoons.
Droopy Dog.
Old stuff.
Your wife wants to see Tudor Turtle. Where can she see that?
You know, she could see one of these if she keeps bringing up Tudor Turtle.
That's
how about
he's shaking
even
his
just
fist.
Animated stuff? How about animated shorts? That it's not just a computer.
Yeah, yeah, like drawn by hand. I would love to see something like that. Sure. Now, Tom, you're big on animation.
Yes. Is that the trivia question for this week?
No. But speaking of that,
I really wish I had my laptop to Google FX.
Yeah.
Why are you punching me with Batman?
Speaking of animation and old animation, I mean, what are your feelings about that? Like, you know, you can't see any of that retro stuff anymore.
Well, I'm kind of with Jim. A lot of that Hanna-Barbera back catalog is not that good.
Uh-huh.
And if it was getting big numbers, they wouldn't have changed their format twice.
Well, I honestly think it's cheaper.
I think the natural place for something like that is maybe a website. Like, they could set up a website where you can
go and view it. It probably exists.
Well, like, I'm sure it does.
You can see, there's so many things you would not, like, I like to watch the old Twilight Zones, and currently I don't have cable, and every now and then I think I want to watch an old Twilight Zone, and then I go and watch it on Hulu, and I can watch any of them.
I honestly think that showing an old episode of Hanna-Barbera is more expensive than showing an episode of the Powerpuff Girls that they own and paid, you know,
but they own,
Tartakovsky
no, they,
2 seconds for.
They own those Hanna-Barbera cartoons. That's why they used to show them. That's why they started Boomerang, because they own that back catalog.
Really?
It was backchat at Delphi.net.
How do you know? Just look
it up
on your
phone?
That's why they used to show all those old cartoons. That's why they started Boomerang.
Why Harvey Birdman, he would always defend Hanna-Barbera clients.
Right. Because they own that catalog.
And I heard, actually what I heard is, like, the animators who wrote those shows hated Harvey Birdman because he made fun of their characters. Did you hear that?
Oh, no, I didn't.
Yeah.
So we just talk about general television stuff here.
Well, I had
you
a
have
few,
a little format?
I had a few topics.
I got a question.
I'm not going to shut anybody down if they have
okay,
stuff.
I got a question.
Yeah?
You remember on MTV, you know how they would do different promos with kind of just young comics that doing characters?
Mm-hmm.
And Toby Huss had a series of them?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've found them anywhere on the internet. When I was in middle school, my friends and I used to quote him all the time.
Do you remember these at all?
His sort of Rudy Cassoni character, you know, and
like Sinatra.
Yeah, but then he had all these other ones too that were just like really, you know.
The one I remember the best is some guy gets in an elevator and it starts to fall, like the cable snaps. He's clearly gonna die, but Toby then shows up. He's like, "Hey, you're gonna die." Yeah, and like does the Cassoni
thing.
Oh, right.
While
the guy's
that.
Dying.
It's I like, remember ooh. One that there was like a lot. I don't remember even what the character was or what, but I remember my friend and I used to quote it. He would go, "The sign read, Janitor's Lounge. Go to hell." I don't know what context it was. I just remember a quote of some sort like that.
That's what your friends
used
to quote.
Not even YouTube? You can't.
I looked for it. I mean, not recently. The last I looked for it, I couldn't find it.
Speaking of YouTube, for those of you who go to my website on a regular or semi-regular basis, I've started a new thing where for my picks of the day, I now have a short little YouTube film of me telling you what my pick is and commenting on it. So there's new, for the first time in,
you just
like
pick
20
anything?
Years. No, I pick something you should watch. If you could only watch one thing on one night, go to my website and I'll tell you what the one thing you should watch is, the one don't miss thing. So the person who got that trivia question right I mentioned 20 minutes ago is Jared Russo. So congratulations to you, Jared Russo. We will send you our last remaining Comic-Con catalog that you won as soon as I get around to it.
Do you think anyone still replies to backchat@delphi.net?
Like if you write it?
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, Delphi no longer exists, right?
Does it not exist?
I don't know. Or does it forward to something else?
What
if someone in FX responds? Like,
maybe when you email it, it goes to Sandra Bullock in that mailbox movie. Maybe.
Sure.
The Lake House?
Lake House, yeah.
Is that Sandra Bullock or Keanu Reeves?
Yeah,
it's
both.
Yeah, but I think it goes to Sandra Bullock, not Keanu Reeves.
Uh-huh. Okay. Wow, that's dynamite.
Same director as The January Man.
So here's, that movie's no good. Here's another, here's a trivia question for this week.
The Lake House?
If I know it and I put it out, that I shouldn't do that.
No, you'll
win. So,
If you know it, but I don't think you will.
Oh, okay.
The question is about, it's related to Catherine O'Hara, it's about SCTV.
All right.
I want to know, who was the costume designer for SCTV? And the great thing is, not only was he the real costume designer for the show SCTV, he also played the costume designer for the programs on the SCTV network. So he basically played himself as a character, but he had the same name. So
it's kind of like an Apocalypse Now when that you know, when the Vietnam director's like, keep moving,
right? Is Coco? I guess it's kind of like that.
Kind of like that.
I guess so. But so that's the question. What was that guy's name? So go ahead, blurt it out, Josh. Doing your French character again? So if you know the answer to that, I'm assuming you guys have no clue.
I don't.
No, Bob.
Yeah, so if you know the answer to that, write Paul at the King of TV.
Is it a Flaherty? Is it a Flaherty of some sort?
No, there's no.
It's not
Joe Flaherty. It's not Eugene Flaherty.
Paul.
It's not Andrea Flaherty.
You didn't know that Joe has a brother named Paul?
Yes, I do.
No, it's
not John Candy. It's not Watermelon Candy. It's not Spray Sour Candy.
Is it O'Hara? Like,
no.
Like,
It's probably just you have to
lean up. Oh yeah, can't hear you.
It's just
or
the name.
In your thinking pose.
Yeah, I was thinking pose. Gross. I was comfortable.
Well, I told you it was a real guy who really did. It's nobody from the cast.
Here's the thing, you know, you ask us, and you know, we don't know it off the top of our heads, but then like, you know, some ding dong at home just looks it up. That's all they have to do. And then
that's generally what people do. Yeah.
So I could just look it up right now, and then I'd win whatever the prize is.
But yes, but you're not going to do that. Okay. B, it's not as easy to look up as you might think.
It's not just some IMDb type thing.
No.
IMDb it.
And C, it's a speed thing. It's the first person who writes me. So I mean, some person might know it off the top of their head, and they'll write me and get it right. Some person might have to research
it. But this isn't going to air for a week, and I got a whole week to figure it out.
Yeah.
That's true.
Oh, so you're saying you might get a jump on the listeners.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
It's really that important to you.
Hypothetically.
You realize your life is better than the people listening to this show.
Oh, it's not that great.
Well, do you listen to the show?
That's why I'm like, what are we talking about here?
So that's what I'm saying. That's why your life is better, because you don't listen to the show.
I wouldn't want to besmirch any of the listeners who... are out there.
Any of our tens and twenties of listeners. Some guy wrote in and said, hey, I would love to help you guys out to promote the show, you know, here in Boston.
But I have no connections at all.
But well, he's like, you know, I'd love to be a street team here and put up stickers and magnets and stuff. I was like, oh, that sounds good. Let's do it. And he never wrote back. Never. Did you ever write to the guy? Did you get in contact with him?
Why would I do that?
Well, because I said maybe design a bumper sticker and send it to him.
Do your appearances on other podcasts help this podcast out?
Sometimes, yeah. People who listen to Battleship Pretension also listen to this show.
Speaking of which, they did an awesome... Look out for the next live show. It was amazing.
The show last night was really good.
Really good.
Do you have an online presence that has a big following that you know...
Yeah, well, we Twitter, and people follow our Twitters and Facebook.
We're on the Microsoft Network now, so that's pretty good.
Yeah, MSN.
What do you write on Twitter about?
Well,
you listen to the show.
I do. I promote the show on Twitter, and then I also post my daily pick for what to watch on TV, and also just funny things and pictures. You know, there was a bunch of hot MILFs at my Albertsons the other day, so I took a picture of some and posted it to Twitter. Right? And people love that.
Right, they like that.
My Albertson is full of MILFs. That's why I love to go there. I was out to brunch with my girlfriend the other day.
There's also a lot of groceries there.
Big MILF recall the other day.
Sometimes
wasn't there a big MILF recall?
What happened? Like too many growth hormones?
Yeah, something wrong with the MILF. See, the big recall.
I think you're thinking of milk.
Oh shit, then what I did was really
wrong. Sometimes
I threw a bunch of MILFs in the back of a truck.
Oh no.
I shouldn't have done that. Oh no.
Then you went home and drank and drank a bunch of MILFs, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's too bad.
Lock that truck. We're not going to park that.
And then you went out to a bar and had sex with a bunch of jugs of milk.
That's right.
Oh, man, why did you do that?
Oh, that I always do.
No matter what.
It was 2% milk, but 100% good.
Well, I don't have any other topics. Jim, do you have some?
Why don't you go first?
Yes. Tom's got a topic?
We forgot to cover this last week.
Persons unknown?
I know people are waiting to hear the
I was hoping you would, because I did not want to be involved in that conversation.
Here it is.
Fuck that show.
Persons Unknown. It was a mini-series airing supposedly a miniseries airing on NBC this
for summer. The summer, a summer series.
And the whole idea is during the summer, there's this crazy sci-fi fantasy, whatever you'd want to call it, mystery show that is just for the summer. It wraps up. It tells a nice, concise story that makes a lot of sense, that is very satisfying when you're done watching it.
And it would have been great if that happened.
Yeah. But it was none of those things. It was poorly produced, poorly written, poorly acted, and the ending...
No problem with the actors. It's none of their fault.
I had a problem with some of the acting. It was clearly Canadian, just like the beverage. It fucking was bad. And to make it worse, they skipped an episode. There was one episode they didn't even show, and you could only watch it online. And they didn't tell anybody. They just pulled it one week, I think, because baseball was on or something. Maybe it was the All-Star game. But then, like, I remember I went to watch it, and it was like, hey, I didn't see this last week. And Brooke and I looked online and went, oh, yeah, this is the episode that was supposed to be on last week.
See, here's the thing about the finale.
And how do you expect people to watch when you just yank one of the episodes?
The finale, I wouldn't say that it doesn't make sense, because it wasn't good enough to say it didn't make sense.
Right.
It made perfect sense. It made perfect sense. Oh, I see. You made a terrible show. I understand.
That was the ending. My favorite part is when I was online watching the episode, I read some of the comments, and like some people were like, I love the show. I can't wait for it to come back next summer. They were dumb. But a lot of people said, you know, this is bullshit. You know, why don't you tell people about this? Or, man, I was bummed out about this show. But a lot of people were especially mad about the fact that it didn't get resolved. You know, they said, all will be revealed.
Right, they're advertising.
That was in the commercial.
That was their catchphrase.
All will be
revealed.
By the
end of summer, all will be revealed.
And it wasn't. And a lot of people were mad. Specifically, this one guy who said, who posted, hey, what happened to all will be relieved? But the best part is he spelled it R-E-L-I-E-V-E-D. He meant to say relieved. He didn't even, it wasn't even a typo. And I thought, maybe that's why this guy's so mad, because he was like, these people will be fine at the end of this series. They'll all be happy, and no one will be sad, and no one will be in pain. Everything will be relieved.
What was the name of the show?
Persons Unknown.
Persons Unknown, yeah.
Maybe I remember these ads.
One of the things that I think is interesting about the whole thing.
Is it like the event coming out? Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah.
Well, they advertise the event a lot during this show because they're similar.
Funny you should mention that. I have this thought, and I've seen this thought echoed a few times online, which is watching Persons Unknown makes me want to not watch the event.
Yeah.
Because that's not the event's fault. I feel bad for their producers, but it's the same kind of show on the same network, and I just got dicked around.
Yeah.
So that makes me not want to watch your new conspiracy show when you just fucked me with the one you just showed.
And also, the commercials for the event make me really reticent. And if Persons Unknown didn't exist, maybe I would be willing to give this a buy. But all the commercials sort of indicate that it's going to be a clusterfuck, because it's like, this thing, not the event.
Well,
so I'm like, so you're throwing in a bunch of things that I don't want.
I haven't seen the commercials for the event, but one thing I can say is that the producers of this show seem to be really confused about how an E looks, because it's E, regular E, V, and then they got a backwards E, and then it's NT, and they got those right, but they got an E in there already.
No, I think the T is also backwards.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Probably the V as well.
Yeah.
But the N, they get it right, and one of the E's they get right. I wonder if that has... I
can't that that's the event. Maybe that's the event.
Is that a clue? The backwards E, is that a clue?
No, it's the event.
It's not much of an event.
Like, they all see this sign. They're like, what the fuck happened to that sign? Someone needs to fix that.
And the president's like... does.
Yeah, the president's like, get on that sign. We need to get someone.
Get on that. Oh, shit, it's not just one sign. It's the whole advertising campaign.
Now, speaking of that, Blair Underwood plays the president in the event. Another black president. Do you think from now on...
come on, guys.
That's what I'm saying. Do you think from now on every show will have a black president?
Oh, God.
I mean, or a woman, like 24, you know, they said, well, we got to step it up because now there's a black president, so we'll have a woman president. It's like now, you know, the next show, there'll be a dog president.
The first hermaphrodite president.
Furniture.
There'll be a dog. Right.
There'll be a podium as president, which is very convenient.
At the news concert, it still stands behind a podium.
I like it. It's it'll be like a sports movie because there'll be a guy who goes, well, there's nothing about it in the rule book, and they're reading the Constitution.
There's nothing that says a dog can't be president. He was born in this country. He's 35 years old. No, he's 3. Ah, but in dog years, he's 35 years old.
Oh, damn it, we're writing this script.
The dog gets elected president.
That's...
And for his vice president, he picks a cat, and that kills him.
Oh, it's adorable.
But he doesn't get elected because he loses the dog vote.
But then the cat becomes really big and popular.
And gets its own show.
Yeah.
It's called Cats Alaska.
Yeah.
Because they don't have names either. That's a great thing. It's just called Dog and Cat. And we get Michael J. Fox and Sally Field to do the voices.
Damn, this is coming together.
Yeah, this is going to be huge. But yeah, so persons, I keep wondering where was the disconnect in this, because it was pitched and advertised. It was pitched to the viewer. It was advertised as a miniseries. And,
right.
they told us that it's all going to make sense and be resolved. Mm-hmm. And that didn't happen at all.
So the ratings were bad and they just didn't...
Well, it was summer ratings.
I think the ratings were
good for summer. Yeah,
but here's
and they
what
thought,
I'm
we're going to bring it back next summer.
But the show, clearly when you watch the show and the way it's structured and the way it ends... They didn't intend to tell you everything. They're hoping, and they're clearly hoping to get another series. So...
But do you think...
Was the network... Was the I know that the people who do the promos, the marketing, aren't the producers. So did they just decide on their... Did marketing just decide on their own to pretend it's a miniseries? What happened there?
Well, here's the theory, because this is kind of what I thought might have happened. Maybe there were scripts that were much more satisfying because... You know, they were probably shooting throughout the summer, right? It wasn't like shot all at once.
Hey, Jason Ritter's on the event.
No shit, like Jason
Ritter. I didn't know. I don't watch this stuff.
Well, why are you looking that up on your phone? What?
Because I got bored by this conversation.
Jeez, and you just start Googling
but
things.
But I just want to get to the bottom of why this backwards E, you know?
I'm sure it's got they spell his name with a backwards E.
And we're talking about marketing and stuff. I'm sure the marketers thought, like,
maybe
okay,
the event sign is a wigger, and it wears the E backwards because that's what the kids do. Right?
No.
Well, it says here that
how do you know
Mac
what
Daddy
color
and
the
Daddy
event
Mac
sign is?
Are the producers.
Huh?
How do you know what color the event sign is?
Well, the letters are white.
No, not all of them.
Sometimes they're mixed up.
Yeah.
It's mixed race.
I don't believe in that.
You don't think
letters are mixed. But what if they had a finale in mind that halfway through the summer they went, oh, this is getting pretty good ratings for us. And the
Well, first of all, I wonder how good the ratings could be when they halfway through moved it to Saturday and
sure.
then stopped showing episodes.
I like when show characters do mashups. I mean, when they mix and match. So maybe if like someone from the event met up with Nikita, you know.
Has anybody watched Nikita? I just watched it.
It's
thought it was pretty good.
It was all right.
Because
yeah.
I never watched the original.
I could see it being a good show.
Is there an original TV show or just a movie?
Both. There's two movies and one TV show already.
There's a Point of No Return. Is that when you're talking about? There's two movies.
Yeah. There's La Femme Nikita which I didn't know was Marion Cotillard when she was very young.
No, it was Ann Perriol.
Oh, Ann Perriol. You're right. But very young Ann Perriol. And then Point of No Return with Bridget
Fonda.
About
30.
Bridget Fonda.
With terrible. And then La Femme Nikita with Peta Wilson, which I believe is on USA.
Never heard of it. I think so.
Yeah.
Will Smith's wife.
So that was on...
I never watched any of them, though. But I watched Nikita.
Rita Wilson started...
Yeah, Rita Wilson, Will
That's
Smith's
Tom
wife.
Tom Hanks.
But I watched Nikita. I thought it was decent because it's got a little. I like the twist at the end. It looks okay to me.
I'm afraid to watch it because it says that looks kill, and I don't want to get killed watching it.
You don't think they mean that literally, do you? Because I don't think that can happen.
The event E is backwards. You
I
know?
Don't know because your face has killed me.
Well, in Nikita, the eyes are backward. And the T and the A, all backwards.
Okay, you're making this joke about the T and the I, but the E, they really did.
I never joke about T.I.
T's and A?
No, T.I.
The
that guy will fuck you up. The rapper?
Isn't he going back to jail?
T.I.?
Yeah, see, I don't want to fuck with
C
him.
See, murder?
Don't fuck with him either.
Texas Instruments?
So, person's unknown.
Is that T.I.?
Yeah.
So, yes. Anyway...
Don't fuck with calculators.
Wait, I lost the thread. What were we talking about?
We were just talking about how shitty the show was.
We were
just
talking about Nikita.
I'm more interested in why marketing people think that, you know, putting a backwards E makes... It's like, that somehow ties into what the plot of the show is. You know, it's like the show, it makes sense if you think about it. The synchronicity between the backwards E in event and what the show's about is perfect.
Okay. That's, you know, any like marketing folks, let us know.
Seven, you know, like a V is the seven instead.
Right, like that movie Seven. You're right.
You know, and they do that all the time.
Or, you know what, there was a movie that, I think it was Warren Beatty was in it, called Dollars, but it was a dollar sign. And the movie's called Dollars, but it was not spelled out. It was a dollar sign. I always think that's dumb, because there are people going to be, what's the name of this movie? Dollar sign? Money. Yeah.
Cash.
To what it is. Or like Vegas. Remember Vegas, the show Vegas?
Uh-huh.
Where it had a dollar sign. I remember I was watching the Emmys once I was a kid, and Robert Urich was giving out an award, and Vegas happened to be nominated, and he said, and Vegas, that's with a dollar sign for an S. He said that.
Wait, Vegas.
About his own show.
Is it older show?
Yes.
What about the James Caan show?
That's called Las Vegas.
Okay, so they're different shows.
Yes.
And they're about different things.
Yes.
Okay.
Las Vegas is about a casino. Vegas is about a private detective who works
same
in Vegas.
Same character. It's like when Newhart got different shows.
No, because those weren't the same characters either.
Well, but Vegas is a character.
Yes.
And it got another show.
Oh, I see.
So well, how do you know? How do we know that the whole time the show Vegas wasn't just called Vega Money?
Exactly. Right. That's what I don't like about that. Or like Shit My Dad Says. Apparently, the industry is calling it Bleep My Dad Says. When they're talking about it in conversation, they're right. Calling it Bleep My Dad Says. But that's bullshit.
I heard somewhere...
And Shatner himself has even said, it's not feces my dad says. We're not talking about excrement. We're talking about stuff. Like, get your shit together is what Shatner uses as an example. So why can't you just say Shit My Dad Says?
I thought they were calling it like Shit the Shat Says or something like
but
that.
But they say shit on TV now.
Not on
do they network. Do it on, yeah, on Bleep on the Dad time. Says?
After 9 o'clock.
Does Bleep My Dad Says use the word shit?
No, it's S, you know, ampersand.
Well, here's the thing. Let's say that, okay, after 9 o'clock, how's you do it? Say that, right? Which okay. Maybe they do. I don't know. But you're well, probably right.
Not
but
really.
I don't know if they're going to still, I don't think they've ever put it in the title.
And, yeah, they're not going to put it in the title. They're not going to put it in a sitcom. And
they're gonna
there's
put
very
it in the
specific
ads.
Rules
the
about how you can even use that word.
Yes, that's true. That's true. Like, well, because when it was on primetime, it was on an episode of Chicago Hope, and Mark Harmon said, shit happens, which is, you know, that's just a catchphrase. That's a bumper sticker.
But, yeah, you're not going to... The problem with it, of course, is like...
You're not going to say, I got to take a shit.
Then you can only advertise
it
at certain hours, which would be dumb, right? They sort of box themselves in.
Yeah.
Well it's like tits. They bought the brand name of, you know, Shit My Dad Says on Twitter, and somehow they feel like they have to stick with that name.
Well, they do have to. It'd be bad to change the name because it's already got such a following. It's like when Let's Rob Jeff Goldblum when they and then it changed to Let's Rob Mick Jagger. Got all this buzz, and then they changed the name of the show to Knights of Prosperity.
Oh yeah, I remember that show.
Why would you got so much buzz of this great name, Let's Rob Mick Jagger? I mean, they changed it because eventually that was no longer the plot of the show. But who gives a fuck? Everyone's talking about this great, hilarious new show, Let's Rob Mick Jagger, and so you change it to Knights of Prosperity, and guess what? Got canceled.
Hey, and you know what? Even if, like, we're no longer robbing Mick Jagger, that would have been kind of a funny part of the show, right?
Yes.
The fact that you're not doing that anymore.
Speaking of that, Donald Logue, who was the star of that show, has a new show on FX called Terriers.
I'm sure
you guys have not watched.
I've seen the ads for it. We can talk about the ads.
Why? Because there's the ones where a dog is running around through the
commercial. Oh, yeah. No, but I also, Donald Logue is posed like he's really cool.
Well, I watched the first episode, and I really liked it. Uh-huh. So, just like everything else on FX, it's a damn good show with a lot of action. Are you not watching Sons of Anarchy this season?
I intend to, but they're going to make it hard for me because Hulu's not going to have episodes until 30 days after air.
Whoa, that's no good.
I know.
You're going to be 4 episodes behind every time. Wow, that's going to suck.
Yeah.
Well, it started out really good, I'll say that. I don't want to spoil it for you, but the season started out with a fucking bang.
Is it about dogs?
No. Oh. 30 Sons of Anarchy is not about dogs.
Neither is Terriers.
So do you...
Terriers, that's what I was asking.
No, there's no dogs in Terriers. There was a dog in the first episode, but it's not about dogs.
Right, okay.
But it's funny, because it reminds me a lot of The Shield. It's Sean Ryan's show, and it has, like, that same kind of feeling of The Shield, where there's, like, a season-long storyline that's going on, and the character arc will go all season. So, but there's a lot of backstory that you have to find out. So it's Josh, I don't know you, I'm not going to say I know you well, but one thing I've noticed in the few times I've met you and hung out with you is you kind of are obsessed with dogs.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
I you could say that.
You like dogs.
I like them. I got one now.
But, like, you like to be involved in projects that have dogs involved. You like to look at pictures of dogs.
I like to take pictures of dogs.
Like to take pictures of dogs.
Yeah.
Do you ever take your dog to a dog park? So you
I have started taking my dog to a dog
so
park.
So the two of you can hang out with other dogs?
Yeah, although he doesn't, you know, he really doesn't know what to do with the other dogs. He just kind of sniffs them and maybe we'll run around for a second and then he comes back to me.
A lot of little dogs are like that, especially if they've been around a little while. Yeah. My little dog's like that. Yeah.
I saw a hilarious video of these bulldogs. They're French bulldogs. And they're puppies.
So how did they talk?
Josh? But they were playing with this cat, and it was fun. Because, you know, French bulldogs have those fucked up hips, those back legs. And because they were puppies, they could barely walk anyways. So he's basically dragging himself around, and his legs are splayed out on the side of him. It was pretty cute. And then the mom came along and was playing with him, too. It was very cute.
What are the best shows about dogs? Shit My Dog Takes.
That's a great show. Oh man, I wish I had thought of that, because I would start fucking twittering it at Shit My Dog Takes, and there's just a picture of shit every time you tweet it.
You
check out this one.
You can still do it.
I'm gonna fucking do that.
Yeah.
I'm gonna start.
Can't wait for that.
Shit My Dog Takes.
I'm gonna fucking make that account and fucking just tweet a bunch of shits that my dog takes. How great is that?
Hey, make a TV show out of this.
That will be funny for about a day. What were you going to say? The best show about a dog is what?
Oh, I'm asking.
Oh,
just to open the discussion. Keep
now,
back
about a dog or with a dog on it or with a dog as a major character?
Both. Yeah, you could say both. I mean,
I think Cesar Millan is nonsense.
Really?
I think The Dog Whisperer is nonsense. Okay. Just because I've been reading a lot of, because I have a dog and now I have two dogs again.
Right.
I've been reading a lot of, like, there's a lot of people who say that some of the stuff he says is good, but some of the stuff he says is not actually the best way to train your dog. And these would be dog experts.
Hmm.
And it makes me think, and it would have never occurred to me before, sorry.
Hey, you asshole. I got knocked down my.
Well, it never would have occurred to me before, but, like, with Dr. Phil, you kind of go, well, he's a doctor on TV. He's not really a doctor.
Right.
And then it suddenly dawns on me, yeah, this guy's just on TV. That don't mean he's a perfect dog expert.
Well, yeah.
And so I question the validity of some of the things he says. I think he's well-intentioned. There's another show.
I've heard a couple tips, and I looked at his Twitter once and took a couple things off that, and they've really helped me shape my dog into, like, you know, a pretty obedient guy.
Right on.
The past few months.
Oh, that's good.
Like, and my girlfriend told me she saw a thing where Cesar Millan said, don't say bye to your dog when you leave. You know, because my dog would always, whenever I had closed the door.
It trains them to know that you're leaving. And
yeah, and if you don't go, bye, honey, bye, I'll be back. You know, but if you just walk out and, like, just ignore him. My dog never barks when I leave now. He barks when I leave him in the car for a little bit, but like.
But that makes perfect sense, because
that's just because he's hot and thirsty.
Yeah.
But I saw this hilarious video of a guy who trained his friend's dog. His friend's dog was, he like was watching his friend's dog sitting, but he trained his friend's dog to every time he got ready to take the dog for a walk, he said, kitty porn. So he would say kitty porn, and then they go for a walk. So now every time he says kitty porn, the dog fucking goes ape shit because he thinks it's time for a walk.
That's funny.
he put the video on YouTube. So then his friend came home. He's like, all right, let's go for a walk. He's like, hey, check this out. Kitty porn. The fucking dog jumps all over. And I think that's hilarious. But that's the way dogs are.
Let's pull that up. Let me just search for kitty porn real quick.
Well, I will say that one of the best shows with a dog was on FX, that animal show, because Jack the dog was was like the co-host on the show, and he was a very cool dog. So there's a great show with a dog on it.
What else is there? Frasier, Lassie.
Yeah, that Lassie was about a dog.
Uh-huh.
Sure.
Benji ever have a show?
Benji did have a show,
really?
Short-lived.
There's a
yeah.
show now. I don't know what channel it's on. I think it's called Dog Stories, and it's
there's a million dog shows on TLC and shit.
I mean,
like
a lot
that.
Of
I'd like to make a dog.
It's Mir the dog.
A dog sketch comedy show. That'd be nice.
I think the best dog show is that one that's on the internet, where it's just a bunch of puppies. running around.
You know, I like to look at Cocker Spaniels jumping down slides. There's a great interview.
Well, you like Dog Show, right?
Yes, that was one of my favorite ones.
Yeah.
Okay.
Dog Show. Yeah, I love that show. Now, speaking of your dogs, Jim, where are your dogs at?
Where my dog's at?
Yeah.
They're at my house.
Where my dog's at.
Okay.
Yeah, I have a German Shepherd.
Now, they're in your house?
Yeah.
They're not out?
So nobody let the dogs out.
Nobody let the dogs out. Good to know. Good to know.
Who?
And why didn't you bring your dog today, Josh?
I thought, maybe it'll be inconvenient. I've never been here. I don't know, you know.
Well, you see, I got a big backyard, and this actually area here is gated. It's made for a dog.
He's sneaky. He's gotten out of a backyard that I left him in before, and then someone called and was like, I have your dog. And I was like, oh, I know he was out.
How'd they know it was your dog?
He has a collar that says Bobby.
I thought because he was being an asshole.
Do you remember?
They're like, this has got to be famous.
Got to be the only asshole in town.
Do you remember, Jim?
That everyone has the number for.
The time we were walking down Hollywood Boulevard, and there's a dachshund just standing on a corner, just a little dachshund, and he's got a collar on. He's clearly owned by somebody, and he's just standing there, and we walk up to him, and he's just standing there, and we pick him up, and we look at his collar, and there's a number on it, and we call the number, and we're like, yeah, we've got your dog. We're standing out on the corner with your dog. You should come get it. And while we're on the phone calling the number, a couple comes out and sees us standing there with their dog and goes, oh, there he is. We should take him inside. And we're like, yeah, he was just standing here. And we found him, and we're calling him.
Yeah.
And then they go, yeah, he does this all the time.
Well, he does it.
He does it.
He opens the door and walks out all the time.
Hey, this is a little dog and a kind of a valuable breed. Maybe you want to make sure he's inside.
He does this all the time.
The next time he does this, someone's going to pick him up and walk off with him.
And take him home.
Or some car is going to run him over.
Right. Yeah, and I mean, hopefully it will be somebody who wants a dog, not somebody who wants to abuse or eat or molest a dog, which is generally what happens when you find dogs on the street. He does this all the time. Yeah, it's his fault. Blame the fucking dog. It's like the people go, man, my dog is so fat. He won't stop eating.
Right,
because your dog, he goes into the fucking kitchen and grabs the food and just fucking gorges himself. He fills his bowl overfilling with food, and you're like, dude, too much. I fucking hate it when people do that.
Put your dog on a diet, asshole. When people just walk around everywhere with their dog off a leash, you know, like if it's in a designated area where it's safe,
like a dog park.
Yeah, like a dog park. That's pretty much the only place where it's legal. Hiking place, you know, like Runyon Canyon. There's a spot where it's okay.
Yeah, because I mean, I don't care how well behaved your dog is, because I see it and I go, wow, that must be a really well behaved dog. That's awesome.
I don't trust the dog to not dart in the traffic.
Well, yeah, unfortunately. I don't care how smart that dog is. How about when another dog comes along and scares the shit out of it? Or when a person runs up to it? Or just any number... When a fucking... There's an earthquake.
Yeah.
You know, when the earthquake comes.
A squirrel.
Right.
Because, you know, that the squirrel thing is just... I don't know how you get around the squirrel thing.
Yeah, it's so dumb. And especially because, do you really feel so comfortable with your dog that you trust that it's not going to bite a kid? You know... Really?
Yeah.
It's just a fucking leash. Spend, you know, $5 and put your dog on a leash. That blows me away.
You drive me nuts. I can't stand it. Yeah.
Today at the pharmacy, I was there with Gracie, and this old lady was getting her pills, and Gracie like was looking at magazines while we're waiting, and she like goes next to this old lady and grabs a magazine, and the old lady turns to leave and almost tripped over Gracie because she was bending down almost like that gag where you push somebody over someone, and she's like, oh gosh, and I went, oh, I'm very sorry, and she's like, oh, I almost tripped over, and I was like, yeah, I apologize, and she went, and there was no harm done, but I was like, I explained to her, do you realize how close you came to almost killing that old lady? I said, a dude like me or a young person would have tripped over you and would have went, oh gosh, is everybody okay? But that old lady would have tripped over you and hurt herself really bad.
Broke a hip.
Yeah. An ambulance would have came. It would have been a huge deal. And what do you think you would have done? And she went, I would have cried. I said, exactly. You would have cried and threw a huge fit. And how bad would you have
not
felt?
Not laugh, too.
Yeah. I was like, you need to be... You're not a little kid anymore. You need to be aware of your surroundings.
Fucking women.
Tell me about them. I'm surrounded by them, especially right now. All right. There's enough horse shit for this show. Really?
Roger Ebert.
Wait a minute. Why do you wait?
Yeah.
Why do you wait through all the bullshit and then come up with your topic?
I've got the topics. You were talking about dogs. Dogs are good.
Roger Ebert.
Roger Ebert coming back to TV.
Why?
Well, he's not going to be on TV. He's just producing the show.
No, he will be on TV.
He's not going to be the host, but he's going to have a segment on it.
Oh, really?
It's going to be called Roger's Corner, and it's going to be him, like, recommendations for DVDs, but with the computer voice.
Cool. So he'll be sitting there, and...
Yeah.
Cool.
And every once in a while, Stephen Hawking will be on, and they'll debate whether the movie's good or not.
I'll tell this quick story. Quick story. So I was at a grocery store, and there's a gentleman who's dressed as if he's always in a poker tournament. That's how he's dressed. He's got sunglasses on, but like as if he's like a guy in a poker tournament constantly.
Okay.
And he's flirting with a beautiful woman, and he's flirting reasonably well with her, I think. He doesn't seem to be too clumsy.
And you are the expert.
Yeah, you know, I know my ladies. And he's flirting with her. And then at one point, he clearly feels like something's going on here. And so he goes, so could I get your phone number? And he's closing the deal. And she goes, right. Oh, I'm sorry. I have a boyfriend. He goes, and then he goes, oh, I wasn't hitting on you.
I just wanted to call you and just chat.
And then after he left, I leaned over to her and I go, I'm pretty sure he's hitting on you. So I think that was really funny. And then the other thing is I watched a little bit of the Jerry Lewis Telethon this year, and this is my thing I said to Tom, is if you had never seen the Jerry Lewis Telethon and this is the first time you saw it and you didn't know what it was for and you turned on the TV, you would think, they're trying to raise money for that weird-looking old Jew. There must be something wrong with him, that guy who can't stand up anymore.
Jerry Lewis,
he's not
you
as
mean?
Wacky anymore.
No?
No.
Oh, it's too bad.
No, I was talking about how the ratio has changed. Like, back in when I saw it as a kid, it was wacky voices for an hour, and then this is Linda, whose legs are not working so good.
Right.
And now it's like, we're going to talk about Linda for 20, 30, 40 hours, and now sort of standing up. Okay, back down talking about Linda.
Hilarious.
But it is good that he's still doing it and, you know, still getting it done.
Oh, he is?
Yeah.
Did he sing his song?
Yeah, he... Yeah, when
still?
You...
But walk in, on or whatever.
But now it's when you walk through a storm because there's no singing. Hold your head.
That's great.
Up. Unlike me. Because I can't anymore.
Do you remember that time when we were in college and me, you, and Jason went to a restaurant and we instructed each other how to order our food? And I told Jason he had to witness to the guy who took our food.
Right.
And Jason told me I had to Krellman my order. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
And I was telling that to Brooke, and she goes, I don't know what that means. And I go, it means like when you order, you go, I'd like a Klangden. I'm sorry, I mean a cheeseburger. And a large widening. I mean a large fry. And give me a large iced widening. I mean, sorry, a large iced tea. Could I have that? And that was hilarious to me.
And then I'm going to read this to you.
And here's a funny story that's related to that. That evening, a waiter killed himself.
Well, it was at a fast food place, so... Chances are he did kill himself, but not because of anything I did.
Okay, so I'll read this really quick because we have comics in the room and you might appreciate this. This is an email I got, so if you guys want, I'll send you this information.
Okay.
We got two great workshops coming up for a comedy workshop. It says it's for veteran comics who want to take classes.
Hmm.
And this first one takes place on September 18th. It's Act Outs Made Funny. Comics say funny things. Comedians say things funny.
Sure.
Act outs are the easiest way to get laughs. Learn how to create jokes with the three points of view, POVs, that go into every act out. Also make your character come alive on stage like a real person. It's fun, too. $30. So if you guys are interested
in... Oh, that's kind of a good deal. Does it say who teaches?
Yes, it does. I'm not going to say the name just in case they would be mad.
Why?
Okay.
Don't you want to help them out? Advertise?
Sure. It is. Who are these? The staff. Who's our staff? Taught by Greg Dean, Gayla Johnson, and the Comedy Tune-Up staff.
I don't know who those people are.
But it's all comedy veterans in there.
Oh, of course.
In the class.
Sure. And where
so
are
you
these,
could have a class
where are
with,
these
like,
classes?
Stephen Wright.
This is going to be at the Paramount Studios, Melrose and Wilton, location sent with prepayment. Oh, shit, I didn't see that part. All right.
So they don't tell you exactly where it is until you pay.
So
you can't sneak in?
So have they, like, been greeted
before?
Hey,
Stephen Wright and Rita Rudner and, you know, Ruth Buzzi.
Jonathan Winters.
Jonathan Winters. Sure. All these comedy veterans are going to be in there.
Now, here's one for you, Paul, and you might enjoy this. It's the Heckler's Boot Camp.
Oh,
Sunday,
yeah.
September 9th, 11th, and this one's only $25, guys.
Ooh.
Learn how to deal with hecklers and how to dig yourself out of a hole if your interactions with the audience goes awry. So, I mean, a lot of times your interactions with...
The same teachers?
Yeah, same teachers in Melrose and Wilton, location sent with prepayment. God, I wish I'm glad you had to reread that, because that's really hilarious. Because I imagine you send them the $30, and what they do is it's like when you fucking book a hooker. They go, okay, show up in the corner, and then call me again. And then there's a guy looking out, going,
come over here. Speaking of that, when I was in Toronto, I was talking to this dude about going to Japan, and like a guy said he wanted to, like, when he was in Japan, he wanted to have sex with a hooker, you know, to say he did it in Japan. But he said
very efficient.
He goes to a place, and the guy's like, yeah, there's a guy outside to talk to. So he points him. The guy's like, yeah, give me $200, and I'll hook you up. So he gives the guy $200. The guy takes him to like this room, and there's a woman at a desk there, and the woman says, yeah, $300. And he goes, okay. He gives her $300, takes him to a room where the hooker is, and she goes, hi, $500, please. And at that point, he's only got $300 left. And he's like, oh. But it's funny to me, because it's like, at that point, you already spent $500, so you're kind of in deep. But he's like, well, he paid her $300, had sex with her, and then the next day went back and gave her the other $200.
No, that's
but I think that's funny, because...
That's
like,
nice, so that was...
Because the first guy, you go... A grand. It was $1,000. But he said it was the best night of his life. But the funny thing is, to me, like, the first guy, you go, $200? Oh, I'm down with that. This is going to be a bargain. $200, hell yeah. And then you go, oh, $300? Well, I'm already in for $200. All right. $500, fine. That's great. Then you get in, another $500. Ah, damn it. If I walk away, I've lost $500. I at least got to have sex with this woman. Because then, at that point, she's right there in front of you.
If you've only paid the $500, what ends up happening is you end up fucking the first guy.
You go back to the first guy. Hey, come here. Come back here. All right, let's wrap this horse shit up with some comedy, Jim. Or do a mashup.
All right. And Phoenix Suns new player is just lighting him up. I cannot believe that he's... Their new power forward, Purple Cow, is scoring so many points. We talked to their key player earlier in the day about their new acquisition. I was pretty excited. Obviously, losing players over the summer was rough. You know, I'd never seen a Purple Cow. I never thought I'd see one, but I gotta be honest, I'd rather see than be one. And it's great having them on the team.
I have no idea what you're doing. Tom, do you have any idea?
No.
I don't know what this
it's
purple
a mashup,
cow
and we figure out what the mashup
yeah.
is.
Yeah,
but this purple cow reference is clearly lost on all fans.
Yeah, I've never seen a purple cow.
Right.
Thought I'd never see one, but, wow.
Is that a song by somebody?
That's a famous poem.
A famous poem, really?
Yes.
Apparently not.
You used to know who this was.
All I'm thinking is...
Oh, okay.
All I'm thinking is Harold and the Purple Crayon and Horse of a Different Color.
So it's a poem by Ogden Nash?
Right.
So what
David
is it?
David Ogden Steers?
Steve Ogden Nash?
Steve Ogden Nash.
Wow.
All right, I'll do the other one.
So disappointing.
Graham
so
Nash?
Incredibly disappointing.
Nash Bridges?
See, you forced him now to just free associate.
David Ogden Steers.
To entertain himself.
All right.
Steers.
Try this one, John.
Fly me to the moon.
Right.
Let me sail among the stars. Thank you, everybody.
You're welcome.
Thank you. And I just want to say God bless you. And space and time, they're the same things, baby. They're the same things. Space is curved, baby.
Okay.
Stephen Hawking Sinatra?
Yeah,
no.
But that's not a pun. I don't.
Oh, it's a pun. It's got to be a pun.
A pun of some. Wait, Stephen Hawking.
It's not Stephen Hawking, dummies. Because space and time are the same thing in a general sense, babies.
I don't know who said that.
Well, you know who said that.
Einstein?
Right.
Okay. Francis Albert Einstein?
Right, Francis Albert Einstein.
It wasn't funny until I said it out loud.
Francis Albert.
That's Sinatra. Francis Albert Sinatra.
His name is
Francis Albert Sinatra.
You're asking too much of us today.
Yeah, really. You want us to know poetry and science. What is wrong with you?
I'm tired.
And Sinatra's middle
you get way. Smart. You get smarter references when you're tired.
That's right. I like Francis Albert.
Yes, that's
Einstein.
No, but here's what I
that
would
in requires you to know that if Sinatra's middle name.
Or did you want your impression to be well? You would do that you should never stay with one broad for too long.
Yeah, there you go. It is my theory that the reason I left my wife Nancy was to marry Ava Gardner. She's much hotter.
Hello, Aunt.
Hello, Aunt. Because I'm Jackie Mason.
I saw Jackie Mason at Cantor's once, and we were talking about celebrity sightings, and I was like, I don't want to. I want to talk to him, but and I didn't wind up talking to him. But I came very close because his table was right by mine, and I was leaving. And I was like, now's the time to do it, and I won't do it. But I'm not. I thought he was funny when I was a kid, but my grandmother really
when
loved
you're
him.
Cantor's, you know? You should order the Jackie Mason.
All you have to do, is say to them, "Hey, I really liked you on whatever," or "Hey, I'm a big fan." Celebrities always love to hear that.
No, I bet some of them don't.
I really love
I bet a lot of them while crazy want to be left alone.
Right wing, you've become.
Yeah, you say that.
Is that what happened to Jackie Mason?
That's one of the things. I mean, he's probably not as bad as Dennis Miller or something.
I loved it when you said that racist comment about David Dinkins. That was awesome. All right. Anything else before we go home?
I'm good, baby.
Josh?
What do you want to promote? Anything else?
Well, his show.
I'm on Twitter.
Yeah. Now, sit up. Last time I was on the Battleship Retention show with you, you were very anti-Twitter. Now you
was it that long ago?
Yeah.
I was like, you know what? Screw Twitter. And then I was just like, all right, I'll try it. And then now I'm very...
And you post some funny stuff on Twitter.
Thank you.
Okay, when you're done.
I was just going to say, so follow him. What is your Twitter?
Josh Fadum.
There you go. So at Josh Fadum. Follow Josh because you post some 27. But you're not on Facebook yet.
I'm on Facebook.
Oh, you
Facebook
are?
For a while.
Okay.
So you're
not
Facebook
on MySpace.
I'm still there, but I don't check it.
Am not on MySpace. I shut down my MySpace.
You know what? I
profile.
Can't log in. I don't know. I can't remember my password. So
I got a Twitter question for you as a comic. So obviously you're posting funny things.
Uh-huh.
How often do you take a funny thing you said in a tweet and say it on stage?
I've been doing that a bit lately.
Do they work?
Or trying, if I don't do it like at like important shows, but I'll specifically try out stuff I wrote on Twitter on like crappy shows.
Yeah, why not?
Well, it's funny to me.
Sometimes it works. I've gotten a few good one-liners.
Oh, I thought I saw a funny tweet from our friend Alex Bays the other day. He said, if you do a lot of manual labor in the sun and you get sunburned, you might be a redneck.
That's funny. That's funny.
That made me laugh.
I've just been seeing it a lot lately, and what I've noticed is that it's the hit and miss ratio is, it may just be the people I'm seeing is disproportionate. And it also might be the fact that sometimes they've got their cell phone out and they're looking at their cell phone.
That's lame.
On a piece of paper. Just transfer it.
I don't want people to watch me.
Now, the last time I saw you, which was a while ago, you were totally against the writing on a piece of paper. So now you've come around.
How long ago was that?
I think now it's like paper's really it's really good for producing things.
What were you using before?
My hand.
You're writing on your hand.
Were you just making a joke, or was it really? Oh yeah.
You
no,
don't.
And I didn't know how to play along.
You don't remember.
No, you did fine.
I may have. I was like, maybe I don't know. I can't be accountable for what I said.
A lot
a long
of
time
weird.
Ago.
Tom wants to do his.
The last time I saw you, you were really against writing on your hand.
Well, you know, I used to just like kind of drip ink everywhere and hope that it would, you know, form into funny joke.
But at the same time, you were really into talking to it. Am I right?
My
when you weren't into writing in it, you loved talking to the hand, right?
Mm-hmm.
Am I right?
Well, the thing is, my face didn't want to hear it.
Right.
So I did a lot of talking to the hand.
Now, there was something when you'd seen him earlier, Paul, think of it quick, because there was something before.
Yeah, last time I saw you, you didn't have a face.
Mm-hmm.
Remember?
Yeah.
You were in an accident where it pulled your hair off and your face came with it and you had to get a transplant.
And you looked like you saw me on
Oprah.
Yeah, I saw you on Oprah. And I asked you if your face hurt. And then you were like, well, yes, because it got ripped off and I'm in excruciating pain. And I went, yeah, because it's killing me. wasn't said, very
then, yeah,
funny.
And then he said too soon.
And then you
he
said,
goes, "Well, this happened like a week
said,
ago."
when you said too soon. You were referring to a salad that came out too soon.
Yeah, I was like, hey, I'm still eating my bread too soon.
Yeah.
Take it back to the kitchen.
Yeah.
We were at Sizzler the other day, and the kids got hamburgers, and they were, like, overdone. They were, like, really well done, like, charred. And, I mean, I was like, I said, these are good, but they're like, no, it's burnt. And I go, okay, you guys can send them back, but you just got to know they're probably going to be spat on. When they come back, they will very likely have spit on them, just so you know. Yeah, and Zoe goes, I don't care. I'd rather eat a spitty hamburger than a burnt one. And I said, okay.
Well, also, I mean, it's burnt. You know, it's called Sizzler. They're probably like, we're gonna sizzle it.
Yes, yeah, right. You should, if you want it rare, you got to ask for it.
Which is why I don't understand. They don't never.
It's not called Sizzless, right?
Not called.
Well, no, wouldn't that be Sizzmore? Isn't that the opposite of Sizzless?
I think you're overthinking.
It's not called just regular general cooking.
It's not called moderate heat.
You and I are going to open a restaurant. And it's just regular general cooking.
Yeah,
sure.
Sounds and like what do we specialize menu. In? Nothing.
Nothing.
If you look at the menu, it's
don't expect
food.
It to be sizzled.
Yeah, no sizzling.
The menu just says food.
Yeah.
And then beverages, drinks. All right. That is the end of the show. Josh, thank
Already?
You for being here. I purposely had no topics today so we could have a lot of rambling from Josh. And look, here we are.
Oh, and I feel like I was more quiet than usual.
Yes. Without
probably the long drive, and I was tired. I'm sorry.
And your dog's
you,
not here. You're
you have
concerned
me back,
about your dog.
If you have me back again, I'll be bursting with energy.
That's not going to happen.
No? All right.
So
you're going to hear me being really energetic on some other podcast. You're going to be like,
well,
I told him no.
How come you didn't wear your Fonzie jacket?
Well, it's not the right weather for it. And
it's
not,
always the right weather for
it. Hey, I'll tell you this.
Jacket.
When I was a kid, I don't think I have a leathery sort of dad.
Yeah, you wore it at the first BP show.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It was January or something. It was cold out.
So?
Well, so?
Hey,
so
it's
why
never
am I
too hot to be cool.
It was cool. And let me tell you, when I was a little kid, look at this guy. I thought that Fonzie and Andrew Dice Clay were the same guy. And there was this tape that my parents got me called Strong Kids Safe Kids, which has a song which you may have seen in TV Carnage that goes, that penis is what boys have down in front, penis, although it may seem very blunt, all boys have a penis, no matter what you've heard, remember that penis is the proper word. And then they also do a verse for Girls' Private Parts.
Sure.
At any rate, that was hosted by Henry Winkler as Fonzie.
As Fonzie.
And I thought it was Andrew Dice Clay.
And wasn't the song for the girls was like, every chick's got a snatch, dun, 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 every chick's got a snatch.
Yeah.
So did it surprise you when you saw Andrew Dice Clay and you're like, why is Fonzie being so filthy and unfunny?
I think I couldn't, I really, at Happy Days was just before my time, and so I just thought it was boring. I just remember,
hey, Mrs. C, here's to you. Fill in my thermos. Ow!
I was watching, I know we're done now, but now I'm getting more energy. I was watching Arsenio clips on YouTube, and there's
clip of Andrew Dice Clay crying.
Yeah,
Arsenio. That's
and then also
clip.
The clip of Sam Kinison mocking him after that.
What
awesome.
Was the crying thing?
Well,
he's like, here's a boy. Hey, let me tell you a story.
It was right after he got banned from MTV, and so he was big in the
and
news.
SNL.
Yeah, and Arsenio was like, I remember when you were just, you know, Andrew Greenberg or whatever, just
Andrew
a comic.
Clay, but, Andrew.
No, it was
Andrew Silverstein.
Andrew Silverstein, and you were a funny comic, and now you're doing this whole thing, and it seems like gotten away from you. As Arsenio was trying to be honest about it, and Dice took the opportunity to try to be a real guy, and he's like, let me tell you a story about a guy, about a kid.
Became the greatest, the biggest comedian in the world.
And he starts crying, but he's clearly faking it. That's the sad part. He just.
But the audience goes, yeah!
Because they were all morons. All right. We
but then
can't
when Kinison mocked him, they were like, yeah, I love him more.
Of course. Because they just clap for whoever.
Well,
they clap for Arsenio every
well,
night.
Arsenio,
how super
did
they
I
do
like
when,
Arsenio.
Do you see when Milli Vanilli was on Arsenio, like, after the Controversia?
No.
Like, well, it was the same nonsense.
Did you say Controversia?
Yes, I did.
Is that Latin?
So much. I'm French-Canadian. No.
Controversia, controversia,
Milli Vanilli.
Milli Vanilli, when they were on after the big controversy about them, they sang their own song, and I vividly remember
Arsenio getting real with him and go, man, you guys can sing. And I'm like, no, they can't. I just heard them.
Well, because what's he going to say? We're going to have Millie Vanilli on. They're going to sing their own songs. We're going to see how it's done. And then after it's done, oh, I get it. I see why you guys did that. Because you guys are terrible.
They didn't do
and then
it,
he, and then he brings out the guys who really did sing. And he's like, wow, you guys are ugly. I get it now. Well, yeah. Beautiful voices, but well, who wants to look at you?
It wasn't that's even Millie Vanilli. It wasn't Millie Vanilli who did it. Someone put Millie Vanilli together and said, we're going to get these kind of pretty guys.
Well, yeah. Yeah, the guy said, I got two bands. I got these guys who can sing but are boring. I got these guys who are interesting but can't sing. So he made... I don't blame that guy. I blame everybody who liked the music in the
first place. Well, that one guy was a oily scumbag, but I don't blame him for what happened.
Well, that's what... in the music
But now
business,
the guys, the pretty boys, the are only both one. Dead, right? Aren't both of them dead?
One only of them, one. Like, only
oh,
one's dead.
One of them committed suicide. I thought one of them had, like, cancer or something. Or one... They both committed suicide, maybe.
One of them committed suicide. I think only one's dead, yeah. You know it's true.
All right, you guys can keep talking, but this show is over. Thank you, Josh. And
thank you for having me.
Thanks for folks at home listening, and don't forget to check out my new Twitter name account.
Shit my dog.
Shits my dog.
You're gonna
pits.
Credit me for
shits
saying
my dog.
I said it out loud first.
Well, the first shit will be a picture of one of your dog took.
Okay.
All right. Good night, everybody. Go fuck.
The whole universe was in a hot, dense state. Then nearly 14 billion years ago, expansion started. Wait. The earth began to cool. The autotrophs began to drool. Neanderthal developed tools. We built a wall.
We built the pyramids.
Math, science, history, unraveling the mystery. It all started with a big bang.
Hey!
Since the dawn of man is really not that long, as every galaxy was formed in less time than it takes to sing this song. A fraction of a second and the elements were made. The Bible stood up straight, the dinosaurs all met their fate. They tried to leave, but they were late and they all died.
They closed their asses off.
The oceans in Pangea see a wooden bar to be a set in motion by the same Big Bang. It all started with a Big Bang. It's expanding ever outward, but one day sick of us debating how we're here, they're catching deer.